All right. Well, we left off last week with was it last week? Yeah, Abraham. But to answer your question, that's what one of the benefits of understanding Israel's program is you won't run into some questions like you just had. You can answer those questions that you just had. Everybody wants to be a Jew today. You know, you ever heard that we're a spiritual Jew?
Oh, yeah.
And then you pick up the verse and you read it, and he says that there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. He has concluded all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. So if you say, I'm a spiritual Jew, and you say, well, okay, you're right. Okay, but he turns around and say, there's no difference. So whether you can't come and say, I'm a spiritual Jew, or that's like saying,
you want to elaborate what a spiritual Jew is?
Well, that's the same thing as saying, I'm a spiritual Gentile. You're just a believer in the present day truth. And the present day truth is there's no difference. But there was a difference before. That's why last week when we showed, when God chose Abraham and he pulled him out of Ur of the Chaldees, Abraham was a
pagan.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I believe is he said, our father, on the other side, they served other gods. Abraham.
Syrian. Didn't he come from the...
He was that area, that same area. So, but God chose him out and called him to start the nation. Do you ever look through scriptures and you always see where it says this? Look at Acts 7. And you'll see this. You'll see this. How it's phrased. Verse 8. You know what? Now, if you want to get a good grasp of what we're going over right now, in a nutshell, you can read the whole chapter 7 of Acts, and it'll tell you what I've been telling you and what Ed has been telling you for like several weeks.
Actually, you can last time.
You can read it in 30 seconds. But it's good to have, you know what? That's the skeleton, but it's good to have the meat as you look at it. Acts 7, verse 7. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage, will I judge, said God. And after that, they shall come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. That's Abraham. And so Abraham begot Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. So you'll go through scripture and you'll see this phrase, the Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Well, he's the God of the rest of those people too, isn't he? But he gives some pillars. And he gives those three pillars and he says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We talked about last week how he spent 12 chapters to outline human history, right?
Yeah.
And the other 38 chapters, he starts talking about this nation. So that's 80%. 80-20, you go to 80-20 rule in business?
Oh, all the time.
So that's 80% of your money comes from 20% of your customers. So pretty much 80% of your attention is going to be focused on 20% of your customer base. Because you know what? That's where the bread is buttered.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God says 80% of what I'm talking about is concentrated right here. And that's on the nation. He's forming this nation in Genesis. And he pulls this man out, Abraham, and he says, I'm going to make you a promise. And he says, the promise is that you will be what? A great nation and a blessing. And he says, I don't have any children. And God says, I'll take care of that. Right? Mm-hmm. Right? Okay.
Yes.
So he calls him out and he shows him this land. And he says, this is where we're going. This is it. And he makes that promise in Genesis 15. Now this, to believe it or not, to me, this is exciting. Oh, well, you know, all God's word is exciting because, to say it again, we talked about most believers now, they always want to know what's in it for me. Mm-hmm. I remember to listen to a guy, he says, we all tune in to WIIFM.
What's,
I was like, what's in it for me? We want to know up front. What's in it for me? Because we're selfish like that.
Yeah.
And I said, nobody like the Army, they'll say, like we said, Uncle Sam wants you. He doesn't say, Libby, come join the Marines. We want to do all these great things for you. That's the bait and switch. But when you get in, he'll say, this is what we really want you to do. Get on that boat or wherever and get over there and do what we want done. But see, and God is like that too, but he's not as underhanded like that. He already says up front, I'm going to use you. He didn't say, you know, he say, this is a side dish for you. Like when I use you, you get some benefits. But he doesn't go up front and says, this is what I want to do for you. But we turn it like this. Trust Christ because he can do all these great things for you. Don't we?
Mm-hmm.
He can do this. He will give you this. He'll give you that. And like it's a spiritual Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not a spiritual Santa Claus. God is doing something on his own. He's working something out after the counsel of his own will.
Mm-hmm.
And we just happen to be in on a program. We can get in on the program. If we get that one point, that'll clear up a lot of confusion. Or at the least, it'll take you out of that mindset of reaching in God's Bible like it's a grab bag.
Mm-hmm.
And pull out what you like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't we do that? Well, you know, I need this. Let's see. Yeah, I like that. Or you reach in here, it's like, I need a new car. Oh, yes. Ask what you want and God will give it to you. Yes, yes. It doesn't.
What he meant.
We can't. You can't do that. You have to have a grasp of what's going on.
Yeah.
Where is it going? Say that for. Oh, Genesis 15. Yes. Thank you, Annette. That's Genesis 15, verse. And this is, we're going to get on Moses. After these things, the word of the Lord came. 15:1. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy great, exceeding great reward. And Abram, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, his name's still Abram right now.
Mm-hmm.
So when God gives a name or changes the name, it's always important.
Mm-hmm.
And Abram said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward, you know what, I have to say this. You just said, Genesis, flip back to Genesis 12. He says, 12:1. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's his first promise. Right?
Five I wills in there.
So, first promise. That's inside joke there. Five promises. That's his promise to Abraham. Sorry. Right there. And if we go to Paul, we know right here that God counted Abraham faithful when he left. He imputed righteousness unto him, right? Mm-hmm. So here in 15, he makes a covenant with him. Verse 2. Thank you. And Abram said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this
land.
This what?
Land.
Why would God want to give Abram some land? He's already over here in Ur, probably content.
Well, he wants to establish a kingdom.
And he calls this man out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what would God want to do with the land and the kingdom? He's already in heaven. What on earth would he want on earth?
Well, I guess he had told Adam.
That's kind of rhetorical.
Because
yeah. Okay. we can go back. But he's working out something.
Right.
Something happened back here.
Right.
That previous lessons Ed brought out. Something happened back here that he needs to fix. And he already had the answer right here.
Right.
But he begins to unfold it through here.
Right.
And if you don't know what he's doing, then you'll get lost here. Maybe here. Maybe here. Maybe you'll get lost here. Maybe you'll get lost here. Maybe you'll get lost there. Maybe you'll get lost here. But somewhere, if you don't know what happened here, you get lost along the way. So you find out what is he's the land.
Mm-hmm.
I want the land. And what do you put in the land? You put, if you're gonna be a king on earth, you gotta have what?
Subjects.
And you gotta have somewhere to what? To rule and reign. You can't just walk around and I'm the king. Where's your kingdom? Well, I don't have one, but I'm the king.
You gotta have land.
So you got to have land. King, kingdom, subjects. And he says, I'm going to make you a great blessing. And in God's case, he says, I'm not just going to be a king, but look at Exodus 20.
You want to really quickly elaborate what happened back there?
No, that's not a quick elaboration. Sorry. Exodus 20. I would say back there he gave up the kingdom.
There you go. That's a quick.
Can I ask one thing?
Yeah. Well,
last Tuesday you brought to our attention that God gave the land to Abraham.
Yes.
Now you're reading over here that he's going to give him the land to inherit it like a future thing.
Right.
So I'm confused.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
Don't forget.
Down.
No, I'll remember because we'll look at it. But stay on board here because I know it's. He says a kingdom in verse 20 or 19. Exodus 19.
Exodus 19.
Right.
Okay. At the foot of Mount Sinai.
He says 19:1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, Tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a what?
Kingdom.
Kingdom of what?
Priest.
And a holy
nation.
These are the words which. So, God saying the land is going to be for a king, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the kingdom is going to be a what? A kingdom?
A priest.
And they are to bless the world. And when you go through, the theme is consistent. Now, how many times have you heard somebody say that, you use a phrase, the priesthood of the believer?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, well, you're the priest of God now. That's where they get it from.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't say that to us.
Mm-hmm.
He said that to them. You are, he said you will be a holy what?
Nations, singular.
Nation of Israel.
Right.
not pick one nation.
Right.
So when God makes that, he makes that promise to Abram, he's already got this in mind. They just don't know it. So he makes this covenant with Abram back in Genesis, and Abram is asleep when he makes this covenant. And usually the way they do the covenant, they lay out those sacrifices, and the two people, they agree over it, and it's a done deal. But he puts Abram to sleep, and then God is the one that cuts the covenant alone. I think in Hebrews where it says, because he could swear by no greater.
Mm-hmm.
He's, what am I make a covenant with you? I don't think so. He's showing Abraham that the way this is going to get done is because I'm going to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
You just on the bandwagon. I could have picked anybody, but I picked you. And that was a privilege for Abraham. And he got some of the benefits of being picked by God. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he goes through there and he gets Isaac. You know what's funny? How many sons did Abraham have?
Well, two that I can think of.
He had a lot more.
I'm sure. That's what I said that I can think of.
Look at this. Look at Genesis 22. We get back to this in a minute, but I thought this was very instructive. Mm-hmm. 22:1-2. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son.
Your only son.
How about God?
Yeah.
How about that? Can you appreciate that? Yeah. When I saw that, I read over that for years.
Yeah.
He just had Ishmael.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he?
Yeah. Yep. 14 years ago. A little longer than that.
Flip back just for a minute to Genesis. Yes. Genesis, flip back to 17. Genesis 17 and 18 and 19. Then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. Well, right after this, 13, 14 years later, he says, you only got one son. That's interesting to me. I just little things like that where I appreciate that. Okay, let's move on then. but there it is again. Isaac, Abraham, Isaac. When Jacob, he tells Abraham, he says, your seed is going down in Egypt, and they're going to serve down there for 400 years. And after that, I'm going to bring them out. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now we got Moses. Here he is. He's got, look at Exodus chapter 2.
If God told him ahead of time that's what he's going to do, does he tell us anywhere what the purpose was?
To make them a great nation.
But, I mean, what about their experience in Egypt? Was it their experience in Egypt, or was it that he bore them on eagle's wings, and what he did bringing them out was a testimony to his... I mean, I'm just curious. I mean, what was that time in Egypt to serve for?
That's interesting, because we were talking about this. You didn't listen to the tape, did you?
What now?
You didn't listen to the tape last week.
I did, but I've listened to it in pieces. So I must have missed the part.
Can't piecemeal tapes.
I know,
just like scripture. You can't piecemeal scripture. But 40 is like a period of probation. It's a
right.
period of
testing the Lord's temptation. 40
preparation. 40, preparation. Preparation. Okay.
The Jews made it 10 times that.
Didn't he?
That's hard-headed.
And you know what? That's... But there's a lesson there, because, I mean, think about all those 40s. Is it's like a qualifying period. Like Moses' life is broken into 40s.
Right.
We Peter, talked
the desert.
And even the Lord, 40 days and 40 nights. You could have done that by memory, though.
Right.
40 days and 40 nights, the flood. 40 days Moses spent in the mount while the children of Israel were in preparation for the party. so there's always a probationary period. And like I said, this is, and I think it magnifies the fact that God is showing, hey, who's forming the nation? He's doing it. And so there's a period where he's going to show them that this is me.
Gotcha.
So they're waiting all this time, and they're in bondage. Because when Joseph goes down into Egypt, everything's okay. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, but there arose another king
that knew not Joseph.
And he began to treat them, ill-treat them.
So they knew, if they had been listening, they knew that the time in Egypt was going to be 400 years.
Well, how many people could you remember that after 400 years?
No, I know. I'm just saying it would have had to have been.
Well, let's look at that, because it's interesting, because they get when. Well, let's look at Exodus chapter 2. Yeah.
I know they get all caught up in the lifestyle of the Egyptians.
5. We'll kind of skip through here. And all the souls. I'm sorry, 1 and 5. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. For Joseph was in Egypt already, and Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land, etc. Verse 16. And when he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded, but saved the men, children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, Why have ye done this thing and have saved all the men, children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come into them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Here we go. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. Do you know right there that they come from a priestly line? So that means their children are what?
Priests.
And, right. So, before they even get over here, God is telling them there'll be a kingdom of what?
Priests.
And Moses really, he's a deliverer, but he's also what? He could be what? A priest. Mm-hmm. A pre-priest, because it was before they actually got going. But, he says, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Good choice of words. They hid him 3 months. Don't you think all women think their children are goodly children?
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't you? They wouldn't look at him and say, Well, Aaron, he's not goodly. Or and they look at another one and say, Well, Moses, he's goodly though. Let's keep him. There's something there. All right. Hold that verse. Look at Hebrews. Matter of fact, hold that verse, look at Hebrews, look at Acts 7, Hebrews 11, Acts 7, and hold that verse. And let's see if we can put something together here.
You can agree with the arthritis we have in our hands.
The arthritis?
Yeah.
Maybe it's the Hebrew.
Hebrews 11, Acts 7.
Right. Hebrews 11, Acts 7. All right.
Hebrews 11, 23.
He says... All right, let's go to Acts 7 first then, since it's in order. Let's see. 7 and, yeah, let's start at verse 17, just for get a running start here. But when the time, this is what, 400 years, mm-hmm. God made a promise to Abraham. He says, Your seed is going into this land, and after 400 years, I'm going to bring them out. Mm-hmm. Nobody's keeping time but God. To answer your question, wouldn't they know that? No, they didn't know that. Nobody's keeping time but God. When I'll tell you, like people at work say this, they would say, you get guys call up and say, you got my quote ready? And you say, well, who am I speaking with? This is Joe. I talked to you a week ago, and I want you to quote me. And I said, well, Joe, I've slept since then. I don't remember all that stuff. Well, the Egyptian or the Israelites have slept since then, since Abraham. Since Abraham's nap, they've taken a lot of naps since then. And nobody's keeping time but God. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Acts 7. Little phrases like this. I hope I'm not belaboring this, but when you read, you know what? The words are there
for a reason.
Every little thing, you know, but when the time of the promise drew nigh. That's the same thing as Paul using a phrase like, but when the fullness of time was come, mm-hmm. or in a process of time,
or but now,
where you always have those little instructive terms that God says, check me out. And if you just reading it like, oh, okay, then you'll miss it.
Mm-hmm.
So who's keeping time?
God is.
God. Who wrote the book of Acts?
God.
And he's telling you, he said, the time of the promise is right now. Mm-hmm. So he's got cooking in the bull rushes, in the ark, a little kid who's a goodly kid, according to his parents. He's a goodly kid, so we're going to hide him. But at the same time, God's got something cooking, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's 3 months old. Right? Okay. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abram, I got to get my pages back in here real quick here. Well, I don't need to. The people grew and multiplied in Egypt till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live. In which time, there we go again. He's got something baking. Moses was born. And was what?
Exceeding fit.
There's another one. Well, don't all parents think their children are exceeding fair?
Mm-hmm.
You know what's funny about those two words? Exceeding fair. The actual phrase is like the exceeding word. It means God. Fair. It means God.
What means God?
The word exceeding. That word, it means God. Check me out.
Jehovah God?
God. God. Favor. So there's something about, and you, if you didn't even check it out, you can tell just by the way the scripture uses the terminology, there's something about this child.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's different.
But he said he's exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And the word nourish, it is not just baby milk. It's Hebrews 11. Hold your hand, it's Acts 7, but look at Hebrews 11.
First one
verse 23.
Oh, wow, actually.
Well, that's...
Wait a minute, he backed up. Yeah. Give him a minute.
Nah, that's it. By...
faith.
By what?
Faith.
By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. By what?
Faith.
How does faith come?
By hearing.
And by hearing?
By the word of God.
So, why would they hide Moses?
Because They heard the word of God.
Okay, let's keep going. By faith, when he was born, was he at 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. There we go again. But don't all parents think their children are proper children?
Yeah.
Why do they keep dropping these? He was a proper child. He was a goodly child. He was exceeding fair. Now, you know what proper is? Astios. That's the word it comes from. It means pertaining to the city. Pertaining to the city.
The kingdom.
It just so happens that we have this child who's defying all the king's commandments. His parents learned by faith that there's something about this child. Now, it's not, I'm going to read between the scripture lines here, and I'm just going to give you a paraphrase. I believe the Lord showed up right on time. He says, it's about that time. If I get one, not if, I'll get him right now, and by the time he's 40, it'll be 400 years when he gets him out, or 80. So he looks at it and he says, yeah, all right, Jochebed, Amram, or Amram, Jochebed, it's time. Do you think? Look at, that's amazing, isn't it? They probably just, hey, honey, how you doing tonight? You know, that's, they don't know. They don't, you know what? They don't know.
She didn't have a headache.
Hey, right. They don't know, and God says, that's tonight. And that's the child.
Yeah.
And he cooks there 3 months. All this going on, they hide him. They float him in the ark. The Pharaoh's daughter gets him by coincidence, rears him up in all the knowledge of the Egyptians by coincidence, but all the while he's going through here to get Moses as the deliverer. He's the deliverer. The 3 months, he's the deliverer. I think he told him that. Your son, look at Luke chapter 1. He said, your son is going to be my instrument of deliverance. Luke chapter 1.
Verse.
I heard last night that the Egyptian, that one of Goliath's brothers had 6 fingers on his hand.
Mm-hmm. Luke 2:25. Okay. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen what?
The Lord's Christ.
Now here's a man he's just waiting. Mm-hmm. Not like the Egyptians. This man hadn't slept, so to speak. He's waiting. He had his watch. He had his spiritual watch tuned in. And he said, I want to see him. I want to see him. The Lord's Christ. The deliverer for the nation. The consolation of Israel. I want to see him. He says, in 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the man Jesus, the child, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
What, maybe, how old?
A goodly child.
Well, we don't know. To do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, Now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen what?
Salvation.
Thy salvation. But he's not even a man yet. He's not 33, is he? He's not 30.
It's not revealed.
He just said it.
No, I mean
this man. That's him. That's what I'm telling you is, that's what I believe happened back here, where they said, your son, that's the one. And they tell him what to do. He says, this is what you do. And when they nourished him up, nourished is has a mind, has a sense of education,
right,
not just food. And I believe they were talking to him when he was little. You know, not the goo-goo. That we do. I believe they were telling him that you, son, are going to be of great use to God. You're going to be the deliverer of his people. That's a deduction from that.
From the scriptures.
Say it.
What?
You guys. I thought you were going to say something.
No, just that I agree with you that they were given some knowledge by God. I don't know to what extent they told him, because he still went and drew that sword and killed that guy. You know, so it wasn't acting much.
All right, that's good. Acts 7.
Okay.
That was a...
But yeah, it's interesting, because going back to where you were showing us in Hebrews, this is by faith Moses, when he was born. Well, he didn't hide himself.
I was going to say that.
His parents hid him.
Yeah, well, he was going to be killed if they didn't.
Right. But by fact, well, they weren't afraid of the king's edict. Why? Because they knew.
They knew. What's going to happen? If God says he's the man, what are you going to do to me? That's why when he said he fled Egypt, you would think he fled because they were going to kill him. But he got over here and says he left not fearing the king's commandment. God told him, get out. Get out for 40 years.
I got some work to do.
Why would you do that, guy? Now, look at Acts 7. Ed just touched on it. This is my belief, too. Acts 7, verse 21. Thank you. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. There's that term again. For her own son. Now, she's an Egyptian. Don't read the next verse yet. She's an Egyptian. She's going to nourish him up as her own son. What do you think she taught him?
All the stuff of the Egyptians.
If those were God's people and they nourished him up for 3 months, only for 3 months, even though it was 3 months, what do you think they told him?
All the stuff of the Jews.
All the stuff that
had been told to them
by faith. All the stuff that, all the stuff that they learned from God.
Right.
By faith, he hid them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he didn't just say hide them. Well, that's all it said, but I don't believe he just said hide them. I believe he told them the purpose of what it was for. Why, who he was, what he was going to do. And that's when they passed the same on to him. When they saw him, they said, this is it. When even before Mary gave birth, the Lord says, it's okay, Joseph, take her, because that child is what? So the Holy Ghost. Before Abraham and Isaac had a child, God told Abraham, he says, not him.
This one.
Him. And he told him what it was for. He's going to be blessed through that child. What makes this any different?
God's directing it, there's no doubt.
And the subjects aren't in darkness. He's telling them, this is what I'm going to do. Matter of fact, when God goes to Sarah, he tells her, he says, I'll be back according to the time of life. That there's that time again. You know, he says, I'll be back in 9 months. And he came back, and then, bam, clockwork. So when Moses, when he says, I'll be back in 400 years, bam, clockwork. He's right there. All right, what was it? Acts 7. 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. He made himself a name, didn't he? As an Egyptian. Here we go. And when he was
approaching the age of 40.
No, Karen. When he was what?
Full
40. It came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Yeah. Now, wait a minute. He was brought up as a what?
Egyptian.
Who told him he was really an Israelite?
Well, when he was
it's in the movie.
They left the
cloth. It was in the movie. Right.
Besides his parents, you're saying God did.
Right. Right.
He had knowledge from the Lord.
I don't think he was in the dark one moment. That's why the scripture says full 40.
It was time.
God had told him the time. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When the Lord says this, and the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, God goes to Moses, he says, the time is fulfilled. The deliverance is at hand. So he's developing, he's back in Egypt, and I believe he's developing a heart for those people. And he's seeing them being ill-treated, he's seeing them being abused, he's being seeing them in slavery, and he's like, let's get this thing rolling, God, let's go. It's time, you know, I'm ready. So, he says,
maybe he jumped ahead.
He jumped ahead, 40 years ahead. He says in verse 24. Wait a minute.
23.
Oh, I'm in Hebrews. I'm sorry. 20. I pulled it over. Verse 24. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. He didn't reveal this to them.
So he got some information that they didn't get. Right?
He got inside track. So he's thinking, he's going to go down. He's probably sitting there and he's thinking, they need to know who I am. We're right there. And he goes out and he says, hey, don't fight him. Or he kills this Egyptian, and he says, I'm the deliverer. And they say, who? The deliverer. You didn't hear about me? No. Deliverer, we've been here for 400 years. Where were you? Not 400 years ago. Where were you 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Where were you 10 years ago? And he says, it's happened. It's ready. And all of a sudden, he jumps the gun. And God says, okay. That's like, you know what? I don't have children, but like you take a kid to the mall and say, when we get in here, don't you go anywhere. Don't you run around. As soon as you get him in there, he's all over the mall. I want this. I want that. God said, just wait.
I was thinking it's like with Abraham. When they got in a hurry and they took matters in their own hands.
Same thing.
It didn't take God off of his timetable.
Same thing. But he takes Moses and he says, by faith, Moses left Egypt. God says, out. Not that he had to regroup, but God's timetable wasn't Moses' timetable. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he thought 40 years. I don't know. I couldn't get that even in my reading. But you knew he jumped the gun. Something went wrong in his mind. That he felt like it could be done.
Well, he didn't know about the 40 years of humbling that God was going to do.
He didn't know about that preparation period. Because now, you know what? I will say this is my own personal belief. So you can strike this. You can strike this from the record. Where 40 years, he learned what? Egyptian.
Right.
Egyptian. Wisdom of the Egyptians. God said, 40 years, you have to... Suppose they had said, yeah, the Moses, the deliverer is here. Let's do it. And he draws this crowd of Egyptians. Then they can come out and he can say what? We did it.
Right.
I did it. And he takes them out and he says, give me some practice. Lead them sheep for a while. And then you come back and lead my people.
Right.
Try them out. So he goes out and he does that. You know, most God's men are shepherds. God's paving the way for the chief shepherd, David, Moses, all those guys keeping the flock. He says, work on them for 40 years. And he does it. And the second 40, he says, now. When he gets them the next time, he says, me? He says, I ain't ready. I'm not ready. He said, yeah, you the man. Now you the man. You ready? And he goes in and he says, take your brother with you since you having a problem with this thing. But he does it and he's in preparation to lead those people out. Look at Exodus. Oh, wow. I'm sorry. It's 7:15. I didn't realize it. Exodus. Find it in a minute here. Exodus. I think I wrote it in my note somewhere. I have a note that says.
What are you looking for?
I didn't write it down in there. Where he says, I noticed in Exodus, he says, when they got ready to bring him out, he says that they sang a song, and when he brought him out, Song of Moses. 15, that's it. Yeah. 15. Verse 1. Then sang Moses, this is after he brought them out and they were on the other side. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him
a habitation.
My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Verse 6. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. Verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed, and thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy
holy habitation.
Where are they going? To heaven?
To the kingdom.
He's told them, I'm going to show them, take them to a land where they can serve me. Take them to a what?
A land.
To a land he promised him. To a land he promised him. To a land he promised him. To a land that
he originally had.
Mm-hmm. Verse 17. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in. Where is he going to dwell in?
Jerusalem.
The Jerusalem. He calls it in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy
hands have established.
The Lord shall reign forever and ever. So he says, I'm bringing you to a land, and that land is also called my habitation, and that land is also called my what?
Sanctuary.
When you think of sanctuary, what do you think of?
Place of worship.
Place of worship. Would you expect some priest to be in the sanctuary?
Yeah.
How about if the sanctuary is not a building, but it's a kingdom, then you would have a kingdom of
priests.
Wow, what a concept.
So
he's bringing them out, and he says, I'm going to make you just what I said. A what? Kingdom of priests. Only problem is
they're not behaving like
they're not behaving like a kingdom of priests.
No.
All right, we're going to stop there, and I don't know where we're going after this, so I have to think.
Well, you're right there. He's got to do something to teach him how to behave like kingdom of priests.
Yeah, we'll get to the unpriestly behavior, I guess. We'll try to figure out from there. Let's pray, and then we'll stop there. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that through this history, you said the things that are written for time are written for our learning. Lord, we pray that we have established some learning today of what you've purposed in your nation, the nation of Israel, and how you would use them as a kingdom of priests. Lord, we know these things, when they don't pertain to us, they could be kind of boring and kind of dry. But we pray that the Holy Spirit would take some of the things that were said and impress them upon our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. There's some interesting stuff in there, Frank. Some stuff to go marinate on.